We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Late Night.
This is Late Night
on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy.
Late Night
on Sports Radio WEEI.
There's always chances. I was hearing a lot of good stuff, and that was a possibility. But, you know, being in this market, playing for the Boston Celtics, is not like playing for a lot of other teams, to be honest. So, I mean, once it came down to something that made sense, it was an easy decision, to be honest. But, you know, playing for the Boston Celtics isn't like playing for some of these other teams in the league. No disrespect. It just... Boston is a top five, you know, organization in this league. So I think that was a possibility. But once I got to look at the offer in front of me, it was easy.
Newest Celtic, extended Celtic, Jaylen Brown right there to Sports Radio WEI. It's Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And, of course, with the Celtics tipping off, their regular season opens up tomorrow night against the Sixers. We will do a tremendous amount of basketball tonight, but we do have to start with some more of this football conversation, if only because it's been dominating the airwaves all day here. And here's the thing. The Tom Brady discussion is one that needs to be had, but I don't know if it needs to be had right now. The fact is, everything that Adam Schefter said last night, it is based in fact. It is, and it's exactly the same thing that I said over the weekend with Fitzy. And Fitzy, you know, the biggest Patriot honk going, and I love him for it. I know what it's like to be that guy. I am that guy with the Celtics. But damn it, you can't take everything to heart. You have to realize that everything that was reported that made national headlines about Tom Brady's future, anybody that pays attention to the Patriots and is able to remove their fandom, remove the pom-poms from the equation, well, they can see it plain as day as well. Okay, so if Tom is now sort of going to go back on his word and say, look, I might play till I'm 45, but I'm not sure I want to do it here, because those are the signs that we're seeing. You can't ignore them. The fact is, if it was just his house up for sale, or if it was just negotiating his way out of the Patriots' ability to franchise him, or if it was just this Paul Rudd television show thing, and they were one-off incidents, no big deal. But the fact is, they're 3-for-3 here, and he's been openly angry at the whole thing with AB, the whole situation with AB, and the Patriots' unwillingness or inability to give Tom weapons late stage in his career. So that's my point here. And I'm not saying that Tom Brady is absolutely going to play elsewhere next year, but the fact is, Tom Brady, for the first time in his career, I feel like is looking elsewhere. And you just heard Jaylen Brown, who has won nothing with the Celtics. He's gone to a conference final, and that's as far as he's gone. He's a young player, been here for, going into his fourth year. But he considers Boston and the Celtics a top five city, a top five team in the NBA. And he knew that he could probably max out getting a little bit more money if he went to restricted free agency next year. But he said, why bother? Why do I want to look at other cities, look at other towns? Look, the fact is, he got paid. He's young. Tom Brady's been paid. I know he's taken pay cuts and he's worked things out with the Kraft family and yada, yada, yada. But the fact is, it's not about money for him. It's not even about championships for him anymore. For Tom Brady, it is 100% about, look, if he can happen to win a championship while building his legacy, awesome. Win another Super Bowl, win 7 here, while continuing to build his legacy and build his brand, that's phenomenal. But I feel like all Tom wants is the one thing that the Patriots have been unwilling to give him. And that's sort of an easy landing here. Let's make it easy for the last couple of years. Let's make it easy for me to go out there and continue to put up numbers. Because what Tom does in his post-playing career matters today. It matters to Tom Brady. It matters to his business partners. It does. And that has to matter to the New England Patriots if they want to hold on to their star employee beyond this year. So it is Sports Radio WEI, and I hope that you guys understand that this is not Gilroy trying to give a hot take. What I'm saying is, let's look at the obvious here and put yourself in Tom Brady's position. If you've been with your employer for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and you feel like they're making your job more difficult than it needs to be as you approach retirement, but you're still producing like you did when you were quote-unquote in your prime, then you're going to be pissed off too. It doesn't mean that you're going to leave. It doesn't mean that your foot is out the door. But what it does mean is that you want options. You want to be able to control your own destiny. And for the first time in Tom's career, he has put himself in a position to control his own destiny, and I don't blame him. And that is a direct result of what the Patriots have put him through over the last few years. It's about loyalty to Tom Brady. It is about having his back. It is about publicly defending him when he needs to be publicly defended. It's about getting him the right tools, the right teammates, the right options, and the right help. Because at this stage in his career, it is not fair to ask him to go out there and groom young receivers and build that trust. No. I mean, you mean to tell me that if he went to Tennessee next year, okay, let's give a hypothetical right now. If Tom Brady were to leave the Patriots in free agency and go to Tennessee, you mean to tell me Mike Vrabel and company wouldn't do everything that they possibly can to give him all of the receiver talent that their money could possibly afford them? That's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Joe, am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
They would bend over backwards to give him all the help that he could ever want.
Because he's never gotten that. And it's not the same organization. The Patriots just ran a different fashion.
But that's what you do. You appease your stars, especially later on in their careers. That's what you need to do. I mean, maybe it's because I'm an NBA guy and I come from a world where in the NBA, if you don't appease your stars are going to leave. And maybe that's because it's the NBA and it's a softer league than the NFL. And if that's on me, then I guess that's on me. But I got to tell you, the way that he's been treated, the way that he's been sort of passed over, the way that his needs and what Tom Brady needs on the football field has been sort of denied. Nobody wants to listen to Tom. Tom is screaming it from the top of the mountaintops, and maybe today, by getting Sanu, it's a sign that maybe they're listening. Maybe that's a sign that finally this team is listening to what Tom Brady is saying. But the fact is, he shouldn't have had to go through what he's gone through the first 7-plus weeks of the season. He should not have had to go out there and get AB and put the team through that. And have to like everything that AB does on Instagram and on Twitter to deliver a message. The message is clear as day. This team has got a world-class defense. They're on the precipice of putting themselves in a position to win another Super Bowl. And yet the offense, with the world's greatest quarterback, the best player ever to play the position, without argument, the best player ever to play the position, has to beg for help. He has to beg for this team to go out there and get the capital that he needs, get the players that he needs, get the players that he desires. At this stage in his career, he does not need that BS. So he's got to deal with the BS on the field, and he's got to deal with the BS off the field. And the BS off the field started a few years ago. It did. When Robert Kraft suddenly didn't have his back in Deflategate, that pissed off Tom Brady. If you don't think it pissed off Tom Brady, well, then you're not paying attention. And, you know, here's the thing. Tom, he's got to go home. He's got to go home to a wife. He has to justify everything that he does to his wife. And if you work out there, you know what I'm saying. So if your employer promises you something, if you hit a goal, if you do something that nobody thought that you could do, if there's a carrot being dangled out there, Mr. Employee, and your employer says, hey, you get that done, you're going to get this. And you don't get that? You don't have a conversation about that? That just sort of goes away because your employer dangled a carrot that he had no intention of paying off on, well then, you can almost find a way to live with that because you need the job. You know who can't live with that? The person not working at that job. The person that you go home to. The wife that makes your life a living hell. Because you're a man and you need to stand up to your employer. You don't mean to tell me that Giselle doesn't give Tom Brady some advice around the dinner table?
Where do you think the 45 number came in? They probably made an agreement on, you know, how long it is, and you had to put a set number on it.
Absolutely they did. I mean, it's all about compromise when you're married, all right? But it's also all about, you know, you can't take my husband and abuse my husband. And in Giselle's mind, I am sure. Remember the comment a couple years ago, he can't throw it and catch it? I mean, that's the thing. Giselle feels like Tom has been put upon. Giselle feels like Tom has been taken advantage of. And Giselle feels like the Patriots haven't had Tom's back in situations where They should have had Tom's back. You have the greatest quarterback ever to play the position, and he's begging for offensive help. You have the greatest quarterback ever to pay the position, and the owner doesn't have his back in a national scandal. You have the greatest quarterback ever to play the position, and your coach is emphasizing the running game and defense. You can almost live with all of those things if you're Tom Brady and you're a single man. But if you're Tom Brady and you are married to Giselle, living with those things is exponentially more difficult because you have to go home and hear about it all over again. And if you don't think that stuff matters, then you're just not paying attention. Again, not saying Tom's going, but I'm saying there's a reason why Tom Brady put himself in a position where he finally controls his own destiny. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. Room for you guys, as always, at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And Joe, is Blair left over from Mark James's show?
No, I think he was waiting for you.
He was waiting for me. I haven't talked to Blair in a long time. Let's go to Blair. Blair is in Maine. Blair, what's happening, my man?
Oh, hold on. Sorry, Gilroy. Gilroy, there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, Blair?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm watching a scary movie.
Oh, what are you? You're watching scary movie, or you're watching a scary movie?
I'm watching the Purge.
Oh, okay. The Purge.
On USA Network.
Very
watching
nice.
It right now on demand. It's scary. They're hiding these couples. African-American couples are hiding, and they're about to get killed, or they're gonna get killed, so they're hiding. It's about to get scary, so...
Well, do you have a DVR? Can you pause it and talk
yeah,
to
I'm
me?
Yeah, I'm pausing
okay.
it, all right, and good. I'm in the dark, because it's better when you're in the dark so you can get scared. And
Blair, everything.
So when you go to bed.
Everything is better in the dark,
this
Blair.
This time of year, baby. It's the time of year to get your freaking self scared before you go to bed.
Blair, are you going to dress up for Halloween?
Yeah, I am, actually, because I got two parties for the day program I go to. I got two parties. So I'm on the Special Olympic basketball team so far.
Nice.
I gotta keep myself, hey, what you do is you keep yourself positive. Positive is the A of the word, the A plus word, positive. But I do want to talk about the Patriots. That's why I called. And the Patriots are so positive. There's no negativity in their house. There's no negativity in the whole team. Do you know why? Because the defense is good. The offense, it's good. I'm not going to bring any negative in this WEEI tonight because the Patriots just blew apart those Jets. They did not get a single touchdown because the Patriots' defense did not let them score a single touchdown, and that's why Sam Darnold threw four interceptions, right? Am I right? Am I correct?
You're correct. The Patriots' defense is historically great this year, Blair, and that's something that's going to carry this team. All right, the Patriots' defense, so far, so good. Through seven games, they are historically good, which is awesome, and it makes Tom's life a little bit easier, and it makes the offense's life a little bit easier. But again, you know, Tom is a guy that's trying to build his legacy. Not only is he trying to build it by winning Super Bowls and continuing to win Super Bowls and put the Patriots in a position to compete for more Super Bowls. That's very important to Tom's legacy. There's no doubt about it. But the whole TB12 methodology, the TB12 business, everything that he's building there, that is equally as important to Tom, in my opinion. That is something, if you listen to Tom and you read the articles that have been written about it and you read the interviews that he's given about TB12 and the brand and everything that he's trying to do with it, he envisions these things popping open all around the country as some sort of a franchise-type opportunity where he wants to inspire the American people to go in and spend their money and live longer, live healthier, live better lives.
The newest GNC.
Absolutely, the newest GNC, and he wants to be the living embodiment of proof. All right, he is proof of concept for the TB12 method, which, by the way, when you are the best quarterback in NFL history, you're on national TV every Sunday, you're winning Super Bowls, there is no better guy to be proof of concept than somebody that gets that sort of media coverage, that gets that sort of attention on a week-in and week-out basis. You can't buy that sort of advertising. So the fact is, Tom's the perfect guy to do it. But Tom, for whatever the reason, whether it's because of Giselle, because of marketing people that have been in and around Tom's ear for the last few years, Tom has set the expectation at 45 years old. So he has told anybody that will listen, his goal is to play at least until he's 45 years old. Okay? So if he doesn't play at a relatively high level until 45 years old, sure, the brand is still going to be powerful. The brand is still going to have a certain amount of cachet and weight out there. But the brand will never live up to its potential hype. It'll never live up to its potential ceiling if Tom Brady doesn't play at a high level until he's 45 years old. And what would make Tom Brady playing at a high level a little bit easier? The right receivers around him. Not having to wait until week 8 to get somebody, by the way, a Sanu, talented guy. But he's a guy that the Falcons were willing to give away because his job is not nearly as important as it once was. He is no longer, you know, the number two guy in Atlanta like he used to be. Now, coming into New England, he'll have a much more pronounced role. I'm excited to see what he can do here. I think for the Patriots, he's somebody that for the next year, year and a half, he's somebody that can really matter here.
Big blocking guy.
But the Patriots, Tom Brady should not have had to get on his knees and beg. And I feel like that's what Tom's been doing. If you pay attention to the post-game press conferences, they've been shorter and shorter each and every week. This is a guy that preaches positivity. This is a guy that preaches, you know, practice what you preach. That is what he told Kirk. That's what he told Jerry. That's what he tells Greg Hill now. That's what he has told anybody that will listen for years. All right? That a positive mental attitude, a positive mental outlook is all you need in this world. He hasn't had that for the majority of the season, despite the fact that his Patriots are undefeated. It's because he's had to work too hard. And at his age, he should not be having to work in new, young, rookie-type wide receivers. The Patriots should give him the sort of trust and respect that he desires by going out there and getting these guys in the offseason, not making Tom sweat it out for 50% of the regular season. That, to Tom, I feel like, is an insult. It's a kick in the nuts, and it's something that at 42 years old, with 6 Super Bowls behind him, it's something that he should not have to do. The Patriots should respect him enough to get him the help that he not only desires, but the help that he needs. It is Sports Radio WEI. Let's grab another call before the break. Let's go to Sean. Sean's in Connecticut. Sean, you're next up here on WEI.
How we doing, buddy?
What's happening, Sean?
My thing is against the whole Tom Brady and Paul Rudd. Like, has anybody ever heard of clickbait?
Yeah, I mean, we know what clickbait is. We run WEI.com. I get it.
Right. So you make something to seem like it's something. Now this show is killing it right now because of clickbait. You make it seem like Brady's making a shot at Kraft.
Well, whether
if you take it into context, it's not.
Well, whether he is or he isn't, right? So here's the thing: if you did you watch the show?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
So did you make it through?
To be very clear, I only watched it because of click and bait.
Absolutely, I'm the same way. All right. So my son was in the studio with me on Saturday. We were talking about it. We get in the car and he says, "Hey, can we go home and watch it?" We watched the first 3 episodes together. By episode 4, there was a lot of sex and stuff, so he stopped watching. I finished it. So when he said, "Daddy, what are they doing?" That was the end of it for him. We didn't have to explain it. But here's the thing. So if you watched that first episode and you didn't go on to watch the rest of it, the fact is Tom Brady, he, the face of the Patriots, came out of an Asian massage parlor with a sly little look on his face. That can certainly be interpreted as some sort of a jab at Robert Kraft. It can be. I mean, because of the time that this thing was filmed, so we've learned so far that it looks like it was filmed in April. So that was, what, 6 weeks? It was 6 weeks after.
Who's heard about it? Who's heard about it? Nobody is upset.
Well, nobody's upset that we know of. We haven't heard from Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft isn't going to talk about it.
Exactly. It's us and the media. We're all making up that someone's upset. Why are we so upset? There's no reason for it. It was clickbait. That's all it was.
I mean, you heard Tom Brady, though, with the media. He's upset as well.
Well, right, because they didn't watch the show to put it into context, which if I guarantee he knew going in that this is clickbait. They're going to see it, and then the heat's going to be off on me.
Yeah, I get it. I know what you're saying. And from a Patriots fan point of view, I can certainly buy into that. Here's the thing. I heard the guys on the morning show today. I've heard other people on the station over the last couple of days sort of suggest, and actually Glenn suggested this as well. And Glenn comes from a TV background, so the fact that he suggested this was really surprising to me. Here's the thing. Tom Brady, he filmed it, he shot it in front of a green screen, whatever. I can buy all that. I can believe all that. Tom Brady can plead ignorance. I can believe all that. But Tom Brady or Tom Brady's people absolutely 1,000% got an advanced copy of this thing before it aired. And if you're just watching it, watching episode one, remember, you have no context of what that spa is. All you know going into that scene is that Paul Rudd's coworker, who was once a dork and a loser in the office, is renewed, refreshed, and killing it in the office because he went to a spa. That's all you know. And it looks like an Asian spa. Tom comes out with an S-eaten grin on his face, and it just has a bad sort of look given what this team and their owner just went through. It does. So if Tom got an advanced copy, why wouldn't he have made a phone call? Or why would he not, at worst case scenario, why did nobody get out in front of this before it hit Netflix? That's the thing. If Tom or Robert Kraft or spokesman Stacey James, somebody, got out in front of this thing before it hit Netflix, then guess what? It's not even a little bit of a story. So it is Sports Radio WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Look, when we come back, there's going to be plenty of room for you guys here tonight. We're going to make our way together until 1 o'clock this morning. We'll continue to talk some Patriots here, continue to talk about this 7-0 team. What does it mean? Are you one of these fans that really gets into the whole strength of schedule and the fact that the Patriots really haven't beaten anybody? Because I heard a lot of people last week telling me that the Jets were going to give the Patriots a run for their money. Not so much. So now we have sort of taken that and we have forgotten what everybody said last week. And I'm not just talking about media people in New York. I'm talking about people here on this station, respected voices on this station. We're saying that the Jets were going to give the Patriots a legitimate run for their money. I told Fitzy on Saturday it wasn't going to be close. By the way, I had a great weekend when it comes to predictions. On Saturday, I was here. I tweeted out. I got a phone call from somebody in the know, somebody that never let me down, that told me that Jaylen Brown was likely going to sign on Monday for somewhere around 4-120. I tweeted it out. I got none of the credit. All right, these other NBA news breakers, they get all the credit. Shams gets all the credit. ESPN gets all the credit. I had it 48 hours before anybody. I had it 48 hours before Nick Flippin' Fryer, our NBA insider for WEI.com. So he's going to join us here coming up next. We'll get into the Celtics. Their opening night is tomorrow. They're in Philadelphia. Old friend Al Horford, what does he bring to the Sixers? Is Tobias Harris really? Is he the guy that can lead the Philadelphia 76ers to a championship? Because I don't think he is. We'll get on that with Nick Fryer. We'll have Greeny, Dan Greenberg from Barstool Sports join us in the 11 o'clock hour. Celtics and Patriots and your phone calls all the way until 1 o'clock in the morning at 617-779-7937.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
At 10:25 p.m., here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. The Patriots, they made a move today, trading second-round pick for wide receiver Mohamed Sanu. The 49ers, they also made a move, trading for wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders. It's going to be really interesting seeing what Emmanuel Sanders does with the Niners and what Sanu does here with the Patriots moving forward. The World Series, that officially opened up tonight. Currently the score 5-2, Nationals up in the top of the sixth inning. We'll continue to keep you guys updated on that score throughout the program tonight. The Bruins, they took on the Maple Leafs tonight, and they won it 4-2. That is the 300th time the Bruins have beaten their original six rival. The Celtics, they open up their regular season tomorrow in Philadelphia when they take on Al Horford and the 76ers. And my name is Patrick Gilroy, and that's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I realize, going back to Mo Sanu real quick, Mo Sanu's a one. He's a one receiver. He was just playing next to Julio, right? Like, Mohamed Sanu is a bona fide one. The Patriots, who are dominant right now, got not better, significantly better this morning with that trade.
So the whole Sanu thing, it's a good pickup. The Patriots, they needed to bring in somebody, a veteran piece, a veteran presence for Tom Brady to have another target to throw the football to. I mean, it's clear when you watch Tom Brady, he's frustrated out there. He knows he can't rely on Julian Edelman and Julian Edelman alone. It's just not a formula for long-term success. And when you heard that bite there, here's the thing. They're absolutely right. The Patriots are undefeated. They've been dominant so far this year, but their offense has been lacking, and there is going to come a time where Tom Brady has got to win a game for the Patriots, and he's much more likely to win a game when he's got actual help out there on the offensive side of the football field. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Open up the show tonight talking about what everybody has been talking about all day long here on WEI, and that is the Patriots. Not so much the 7-0 Patriots, but it's the Patriots, their offensive issues, Tom Brady's unhappiness, and really, what is the future for Tom Brady? Because if you missed it, you know, national news last night going into Monday Night Football, I mean, a conversation with well-respected football insiders was revolving around Tom Brady's future here in New England and laying out all the obvious facts that his future here in New England for the first time in forever is uncertain. So here to talk to me about the basketball situation is Nick Fryer. But before we get there, before we get to the Celtics, Nick, I got to do this with you. Yeah. Because you're here all day. All right, you're over there at practice. You're doing your Celtics stuff. But you're here and you're listening, paying attention. When you hear other guys, whether it's the guys from OMF or Greg Hill or Dalen Keefe talking about this, and you think to yourself, okay, Tom's been here for 20 years. Tom is, we thought, relatively happy here. And yet, all of a sudden, we're talking about Tom Brady not retiring, but playing elsewhere for the next couple of years. Do you buy into any of this at all?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. I will say a little bit to some extent, like him not playing. It's a possibility, Gilroy. I mean, you have to. I think the whole thing with this is the Patriots have had it good for far too long. I mean, New England sports have had it good for far too long, and it was terrible for such a long time. I think everybody's just waiting for the other shoe to drop at some point. How can you not be concerned with it to some extent? With every little thing, you're trying to find what's wrong. At the end of it, gun to my head, no, I don't think he's leaving. If he is, he's retiring, because then it's part of his whole legacy and everything.
So that's the point that I want to get to, because if he didn't have the TB12 sort of methodology and business plan to worry about, I would buy into what you just said 1,000%, especially if he goes and wins another Super Bowl this year. Right now, you got more than anybody else with 7, perfect time to ride off into the sunset. But the longer he plays, the more inherent value his business has, the more money he can charge potential franchisees, the more money the franchisees can charge people like you and I that want to look like Tom when we're 43 years old. I mean, that's the part of it that I have a hard time wrapping my head around when people say that Tom Brady would potentially walk away from football, especially if he's playing at a relatively high level. And you have to consider the fact, too, that when you look at Tom's actions over the last 12 months, the fact is he did put his house up for sale. The fact is his trainer put his house up for sale. And we know that those two are more than just a trainer-trainee relationship.
Right.
That's his best friend. That's his kid's godfather. There is that's his business partner. There is a genuine brothership and love there between those two. So they both have their homes up for sale. We've seen and heard the reports of Tom Brady looking at houses and looking at schools in Connecticut and in New York. So that is a very real thing. Tom Brady leaving Brookline, leaving Massachusetts.
Right.
That is going to happen. So now you combine that with, why did Tom feel the desire and the need to absolutely negotiate out of his contract the ability for the Patriots to franchise him? Why? Right. Give me a good reason why, other than he wants to control his own destiny.
It's exactly what it is,
Gilroy. So now he's moving, and the Patriots no longer have the ability to bring him back if they want to. Every team has the ability to wildly overpay and keep their franchise player, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots don't have that now. So now that's two strikes against Tom. Eventually here, it adds up to there is a more than 50% chance that Tom Brady is not going to be the quarterback of the New England Patriots next year.
More than a 50% chance?
Absolutely, yeah. It's not just one of these things. It's
not just him. You're not saying him playing somewhere else. You're factoring in he could retire too.
Absolutely. Okay. More than 50% chance he's not the quarterback of the Patriots next year. And with each passing day that he doesn't sort of give some credence to the Patriot way, to his coach, to his ownership, where he just is very short in these post-game press conferences, where you can tell how frustrated he is. With each passing day, with each passing comment, I sort of find myself buying into this more and more. All the signs point in that direction. I mean, there is not a sign that points to Tom Brady's longevity here in New England. Tom Brady sticking it out for another year, 2 years, 3 years here in New England. If there is a sign, then I've certainly missed it.
I know the longer he plays, the better his brand looks, and the more he can sell to people at a higher, you know, a greater age or whatever. But he's done it long enough. He does. What more does he need to prove? Yes, you want to go and get the undefeated season. That is the only thing that he has left, is to have an undefeated season under his belt, and then he's all set. Outside of that, I don't blame him if he wants to retire. I'm sure he looked at it at one point and said, I'll do it till I'm 45, and then after you do it long enough, it's like, damn, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
Is there any sort of, I don't know, hurt feelings or any sort of idea that maybe if Tom Brady, let's say he walks away, he retires, he signs elsewhere, whatever the point may be, whatever he does in the offseason, and he leaves the Patriots with what, Stidham as their quarterback, right? Is there any anger from Patriots fans at that point? Because Tom Brady is the one that said, no, I want to play till I'm 45, which essentially is what finally pushed Jimmy G out the door,
right?
The Patriots had not one, but two. Now we're seeing legitimate backup quarterbacks once upon a time that were both seemingly capable of carrying this franchise forward for the next, I don't know, 5, 10, 15 years, whatever it may be. Both of these guys, and Jacoby Brissett and Jimmy G, look like legitimate quarterback talent right now.
Right, yeah.
So is there any sort of, yeah, that Kyrie Irving, hey, you said you were going to stay. We built our team based on you saying you're going to stay, and now you're going to bounce out of here early, screw you, sort of mentality against Tom Brady.
There shouldn't be. I mean, so he still won a title.
So there's no accountability based on what he says.
But when he goes and does that, you expect him to go and at least win one, because it's Tom Brady, and it's the Patriots. You expect him to go and win at least one more title. He did that, didn't he?
He did.
And now he's in position to at least make a run to do it again, right? The team is.
He is. And the team is.
That's what matters. I mean, would you say, all right, I'm going to go and invest in Jimmy G for 5 years. Yes, he looked good and everything. But there's still a lot. I don't care what anybody says.
There's a lot of questions.
There was a lot of unknown. The Brissett one, to me, was the move I didn't like as much, because I felt like he'd given up on him too early. I understand, you know, maybe he didn't get the system, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But still, I would have tried to keep him a little bit longer if you could have made it work, because then the timetable might have worked out a little better. But you get Brady, you know what you have with Brady, as much as there's the age issue. Are you going to go and try and make it work with him for 2 years, or go with make a run for it with Jimmy G for 5 years? I'm taking Brady every time, and you won one. If you're going to win one, then it's fine. Then at the end of it, you got what you wanted.
Why is Bill Belichick comfortable building this team around giving every other component to this team, the defense, special teams, he gives them everything that they need? Why is he comfortable not giving Tom what he needs and doing it time in and time out each and every year, it seems like now?
Well, because he's Tom, and he's cerebral. I mean, his decision making at the line makes a huge difference, and obviously reading the defense in the course of a play is huge. And I think that as long as you have guys who have decent hands, he's going to usually put it where you need to. That's why we hear sometimes, like, what was the incomplete pass he had in the red zone against Buffalo? That was one of those ones where I was like, what the hell is that?
Right.
This is not Tom at all. But the defense in years past, we've seen it, Gilroy, where they've struggled, where you don't spend money necessarily. And it's been like, I mean, when Brady didn't win in the 07 undefeated season or whatever, like those years, the offense was lights out. But what was the problem? It was the defense.
Do you think Tom resents it at all, though? Do you think Tom looks?
He shouldn't.
Do you think he looks right now at 42 years old, knowing that, look, the fact is that he's got the Patriots over a barrel? Do you think that he resents the Patriots at all this year in a vacuum when he's looking at what he's got this year and the fact that he sees this great defense, he sees this great special teams, and he's looking out there saying, where's my help offensively? You know, we just had the best tight end ever to play the position and retire. And I'm looking at a 38-year-old guy who you just cut and brought back. That's what you got me for my tight end talent now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is Tom Brady's mindset when he's scanning the field looking for open receivers and he doesn't see the guy that he's looking for?
So I know every time we hear the press conference stuff over and over again about how he sounds upset and he's, you know, doesn't want to critique certain guys or whatever, is apprehensive about what he's going to say about each individual player, especially on the offensive side. Look, as an elite athlete, he's looking at it, especially Tom Brady, who, look, we've seen that he thinks highly of himself through the years. His opinion of himself has definitely grown, and rightfully so. I think he looks at it and says, yeah, maybe I would want some better pieces. But he also looks at it and says, I should be doing better. I should be able to make these guys better. Because he's done that in the past where he's had lesser receiving corps and he's done well. And he's probably looking at it now like, what the hell? I can't do it now.
No, I feel like you're making my point for me. I feel like he shouldn't have to do it now. And that's how he feels right now.
I think he wants to still be able to. He wants to be able to do it. Maybe he shouldn't have to.
So you think he's had a decline in his skills that are not allowing him the ability to get these young guys prepared and ready to go?
Yeah, and it's natural though, Gilroy.
Of course it is. Yeah. So don't you have to overcompensate for that if you're Bill Belichick and say, okay, well maybe we shouldn't give him the crap and expect him to turn that into something? Shouldn't we give him some veteran receivers out there? Mm-hmm. Maybe when Amendola was available when he was leaving Miami, maybe you overpay for him a little bit because there's a comfort level there.
Definitely.
You're not looking for a long-term fix here if you're Tom Brady. You're looking for a guy for a year or two. And I feel like Tom has felt a little bit slighted and burnt ever since the exhibition season this year. Because he's been looking around, looking for help. And all he's seen out there is Julian Edelman.
Well, did you get hit on that?
Yeah, he was blitzing. I tried to lob it over him because the guy was standing right in his face.
Like the one to Maroney?
It was right in his hands.
It was over his head.
Oh, that one.
I love that. It's one of my favorite cuts.
Well, I mean, he's got Myers, too, who's looking pretty good. Obviously, they got Sanu, which is the big
Myers,
move.
But a young kid, by the way, and that's my point. You know, Myers does look pretty good. Mm-hmm. But now you're relying on him, potentially. You're also relying on Sanu, you're going to bring in here. He's got to learn the system. How many veteran guys have the Patriots brought in over the years? And they haven't been able to sort of get that learning curve in the system.
Right.
So let's wait and see what happens there as well. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. My name is Patrick Gilroy. This is Late Night. Joining me in studio right now from WEI.com, Nick Fryer. Nick, you know, real quick here, I know we got to go to break. The lights are flashing. All hell's breaking loose in here. But Celtics open up their regular season tomorrow. That's essentially why I texted you today.
Mm-hmm.
I got to talk some Celtics. It's been I've been chomping at the bit here for months to talk Celtics and talk Celtics consistently. I'm in tonight. I get to preview what happens. I'm in tomorrow, essentially. I'll do your post game for the Celtics. It's going to be plenty of Celtics talk here.
Yeah, buddy.
But here's the thing. It feels like when I look around the NBA landscape and I look at all the pundits, there is a pretty wide divide between the most optimistic pundits when it comes to their expectations for the Celtics and the most negative pundits. There is a 10-12 game divide. Usually you see a few games, but I'm seeing some people 39-40 wins and some 51-52.
39 for the Celtics.
39 for the Celtics.
Who's?
I'll get into the 39 for the Celtics, but I want you to think about this in the break here, Nick. The Celtics arguably don't have as much talent on their roster right now as they did 12 months ago. But is this Celtics team better prepared to potentially reach an NBA Finals based on every piece of the equation, not just the Celtics piece, but the entire Eastern Conference? I can make the argument right now that the NBA Finals are closer for the Boston Celtics right now than they were 12 months ago. We'll get into that and more with Nick Fryer when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
I'm not going to jinx myself, but it's out in 6 years. I'm going to go ahead and say it's 5 or 6.
So you win in the championship every year from here to...
I don't want to jinx myself.
You already did. You already said it.
And I don't play to lose, so I'm going to go ahead and say... I'm going to give it a 5.
Jaylen Brown right there, thinking with his other head that day.
What?
No doubt about it. He was standing at attention, saluting all over the place, talking about 5 championships before he's 26 years old.
It is late night. I guess you can talk about that.
If you're here after midnight, wait till you see what happens.
Conversations get real wild.
Yeah. This is the other side of WEI. You got to start marketing that way too.
Yeah, that's good.
This is not your grandfather's WEI here at late night. Not when Joe's behind the wheel either. I mean, it's a different show. When Joe's back there, we have a very different show versus other producers. I got to tell you, he's not afraid to get a little bit wild with me. Some people hear the things I say and they cringe a little bit. They say, we can't do that. But
I'm used to your weirdness by this point.
Yeah, it's been years, Joe. If you're not used to me now, it's just never going to happen. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Joining me in studio right now from WEI, Celticsinsider.com, our Celtics insider, Celtics guy. He has been there over the course of the last month throughout training camp, and now the regular season is here. Nick Fryer. Nick, I am so excited as a Celtics fan. And here's the thing. Sometimes I have to separate myself when I'm on the radio. Celtics fan first, you know, at home, Celtics tattoo on the arm. Like, I am a green teamer through and through.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on the radio last year, let's not forget, I was the guy that said that Danny Ainge should be sweating out his job. And I'll continue to believe that there's too much job security for guys like Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens here in Boston. Every single time, a guy like Rick Grosbeck, who I love, who's been very good to me over the years, but any time that he goes on the radio or TV and he talks about these guys in Auerbachian fashion, essentially guaranteeing them lifelong contracts for as long as they want to be here, that to me is not a good way to run a business. You want to run a business with at least a small amount of inherent pressure upon your leadership to do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Danny Ainge were named Nick Fryer, and in 1 year his team took a massive step backwards, if you were responsible for building a team that had all that infighting last year, if Nick Fryer's massive contract was up at the end of the year, and yet you didn't even entertain trades for him by the trade deadline to get something in return, those are all fireable offenses, you know, individually for other general managers. But for Danny Ainge, it's just another day at the office.
Well, there's the legacy factor in the course of it all, Gilroy. You know that. That's definitely a part of it.
Of course it is.
He's I don't want to say an institution, but he kind of has become one in a way. I mean, he's won a title. He turned things around so quickly when he came in.
He did.
Could you imagine, too? I wasn't certain, but I looked it up a couple days ago. The Joe Johnson one is the trade that's always blown my mind, and that was right before he got here.
It was right before the year before he got here.
That was such a dumb one, too.
It was. And Joe Johnson, by the way, I was rooting for him to make his NBA comeback. The Pistons signed him a couple weeks ago, cut yesterday. He's going to continue to star in the Big Three, and good for him.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe he'll catch on to a team somewhere around the All-Star break, you know, a la P.J. Brown. But I don't think Joe Johnson at 38 years old. His wheels were falling off a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And he averaged like 3 points a game in the preseason. Just, it's one thing to dominate in half-court basketball settings.
For sure.
As opposed to, I don't know, the NBA.
Yeah, definitely. But that's just a deal. A guy that's like, he could have been here with Paul Pierce and had a legitimate career here and just...
It could have happened.
Could have happened.
So there's a lot to get into here with you, Nick. And the fact is, we need to start with the contractual situation of Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown gets himself that extension. He's looking around the league and the landscape of the league, and he's seeing his other sort of classmates get similar extensions. And, you know, we heard the report about a week ago that the Celtics offered 4 and 80. Danny Ainge denied that report. But the fact is, I was happy that the two sides were talking. But if you read the national pundits here, you know where Nick Wright's going to fall on this. He hates the deal. He thinks that Danny Ainge got fleeced. But if you listen to and read the national pundits from across the league, it seems like they're divided. There isn't a lot of middle ground here. You've got a certain group of people that believe in Jaylen Brown's potential. They believe in his ability, and they believe that this was a signing that ultimately he's going to be worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have other guys that believe that, you know, what do you call him, a homeless man's version of Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
You've got people that look at him as a 13-point-per-game guy that's now getting close to $30 million annually. So when you look at Jaylen Brown, do you look at him as a potential franchise cornerstone, or do you look at him as the sixth man that he was for most of the season last year?
He's not a sixth man. He's definitely better than a sixth man. And you know what the other thing is, too, Gilroy? Remember when... I don't know when Mannix originally reported this, but I know he reported it, and it might have been over the summer where it came out. But apparently, according to him, the Spurs were interested in Jaylen Brown and when it was all the Kawhi Leonard talks, right?
The Spurs.
So if Greg Popovich was interested in Jaylen Brown.
You think he sees something there?
I think he sees something there.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust Pop on when it comes to most basketball things.
It's funny because you bring up Greg Popovich and his potential interest in Jaylen Brown. And, you know, I tweeted out on Saturday that look for the Celtics to sign him before Monday, 4 years, close to 120. I pretty much nailed that report.
Yep.
But that report came from somebody well-connected to Pat Riley. So now you have two of the most respected basketball minds on the planet, right? Potentially coveting Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to tell you something. What I really like about Jaylen, not only is he well-equipped to star in the NBA offensively and defensively, but he's a cerebral player as well.
See, that's where I've had issues with him in the past, is his decision-making. Shot selection in particular, and that happened, that surfaced a lot early in the season last year. I remember it was like per possession, he was taking more shots than anybody, and he was the fourth best shooter on the team behind Mook at that time, Tatum, and Kyrie. So I've had issues with his decision making in the past, but with Team USA, I want to say summer league, with Team USA and in the preseason, it looks like he's taking better shots. He's not trying to force it as often. So I will say, in terms of his decision-making, he looks better. But I get worried about that.
So Jaylen, he's locked up long-term for the Celtics. There's a lot more to get into here as we enter the 11 o'clock hour. Want to get into Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, of course, Kemba Walker, Nick Fryer, your expectations for this team. There's a sort of a wild divide between the most optimistic pundits versus the most negative pundits. I'm going to tell you why I think the Celtics could potentially find themselves in the NBA Finals. But before we do that, I got to get to this call here. I don't care if we go up against the clock. This guy, Brian in New Hampshire, apparently he's got a very out there take on Brady and Belichick. So I want to hear this stuff to get pumped up going into the 11 o'clock hour. So Brian in New Hampshire, you're next up here on WEI.
Hi. First, I want to compliment you. I have never heard anybody speak as quickly and cogently as you. The way you are able to turn your thoughts into effective conversation is astonishing to me.
I appreciate that. You know what, Brian, that is a product of necessity. I only get a very few hours here weekly, and I've got a lot to say. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I got to pack it all in.
I know what you mean. I've had to give the elevator conversation a few times myself.
That's it.
So anyway,
what's on your mind?
What I wanted to say is, you know, I've been a Patriots fan forever, and Belichick, I don't believe, played college football. I don't know.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did play college football.
He did. Okay. Does that mean
Wesleyan? Was it Wesleyan?
I'm right? Sorry? Okay. Anyway, his dad was the coach of a, you know, relatively prestigious football team at Annapolis. And maybe his dad paid more attention to his quarterbacks than he did to his son. The unconscious is an amazing thing.
So you're saying there might be some leftover resentment there.
Ever since I've been watching the success of Tom Brady, I just keeps taking away his toys.
Glenn, you got the scouts out, don't you?
There's a certain amount of resentment there. You took a few wild leaps there to get to where Brian got to, but I can sort of see that. I mean, again, Nick, I asked you a half an hour ago, explain to me why, at this stage in Tom's career, haven't the Patriots given him the receiving options that Tom's looking for? And you can't give me a good answer. Joe can't give me a good answer. The answer that everybody gives is, well, it's Tom Brady. He always finds a way to make it work. At 42 years old with 6 Super Bowls, he doesn't want to find a way to make it work anymore.
No, see, that's what I'm telling you. I think he believes he should be able to still make it work because I'm Tom Brady, and I've always been able to do it. I'm continuing to put in the right work, and I'm going to be able to do it still.
If Tom Brady really wanted to prove that he was still that guy, he would be there at OTAs. He would have his guys out to the field or wherever, Montana, L.A., wherever the hell they go when they practice in the offseason. Tom doesn't do those things anymore. You know why? He wants it to be a little bit easier. That's what happens in life. When you become successful, you get a little bit lazier, and that's okay. With that kind of success, you can justify just a little bit of laziness every once in a while. So it is Sports Radio, WEI, 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. When we come back, Nick Fryer, he's going to hang out for a little while longer here. We're going to really get into this Celtics team, this new-look Celtics team, and can a team that has potential at least conference finals, if not NBA Finals aspirations, and make no mistake about it, listening to these guys, that's what they're talking about. Can a team that is going to play rotationally for maybe 5 years with less than 5 guys with less than 2 years of NBA experience, can a team that's that young really compete and contend in the National Basketball Association? We'll get into that with Nick and a whole heck of a lot more with you guys at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.